We arrived at Genesis 30, sprinting, limping, stumbling, doesn't matter, we got there. So, if you're following along, you know, those of you that are following along at home, so to speak, we get to Genesis 30. We left it off with Jacob and his family were nearly complete last week. 11 children.
11
male children. One girl. Girls rarely got mentioned, but there was a reason for Dinah being mentioned, and we'll get there. Genesis 30, Jacob takes a deep breath, looks around, and goes, I believe my work here is through. I'm going to go home. Right? Mm-hmm. Bunch of kids. So he goes to Laban, hey, send me away. Wives, children, the whole nine yards. Let's go. My service time is complete. To which service was he referring?
14 years
Laban.
Of labor.
14 years of labor for two young ladies.
Contract's over.
Pardon me?
Contract is over.
Contract is over. Contract fulfilled. Signed, sealed, delivered. Oops. Reflecting my misspent youth in music. Laban, stay. Stay. Because
children.
We're all still here. That wasn't the trumpet. Either that or we all have problems. Laban, I have divined, clearly not a God follower, the cause of all my recent prosperity is you. No pressure, but you. Thank you, God.
What's a good thing here? I don't want to lose it.
Hey, bingo. I got a good thing here. This goose keeps laying golden eggs, and I don't dare kill it. Your God has blessed me alongside of you. Well, Jacob, what do you say to something like that? Oh, yeah, okay.
You got a third daughter?
Yeah, a third daughter. Let's see, I saw Ron, and then we'll go to Leonard.
He said, your God has blessed me. So, who is Laban's God?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
If we get there.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving no guarantees this morning. Leonard? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. You didn't.
No.
You're supporting an injury or something. No problem. Jacob agrees. Yeah, you know what you had. Look back 14 years, and you know what you got now. God has blessed you in this fun little phrase, at my foot. If a size 13 Nike is worth anything. But then he follows on with, yeah, because I've been walking your land, we both know who blessed us. We both know who caused all this prosperity. Multiplied herds, better trading position, multiplied food, fodder, and cash crops, whatever it was they were growing in the region. We both know how that happened. You know what? When am I going to take care of me? When am I going to build my own house? That is an all-encompassing world. The full family, the full estate, the lands, the titles, etc. When am I going to work on that? Because for the last 14 years, I've been working for you. Laban. Anything I can offer you to stay? You could see him going, you know, the bank account has just been steadily rising. Hey, if I can get you to hang out, it'll go stratospheric. I bet he didn't know that word. Jacob, nothing. Wait a minute. I got to build my own house here. If I stay, you give me all the oddballs, all the irregular sheep and goats that at the times when the flocks, usually in the spring, are delivering their little ones, any of those that are not the normal looking ones, usually a solid color, or a gradual shading of the same color over the fur of the beast. Anything that has stripes, spots, weird patterns, in short, anything that looks like a pinto or paint pony, if you, that gives you an image. You give that one to me. I'll take that for my wages. Yeah. Give me the weird ones. All right, you're not Ball Jacob, but you can have them. But notice something. This is an easily enforced contract. It is still within the greater context of the household and servitors of Laban. They know who owns which critters. If anything that Jacob takes out to pasture does not have streaks, spots, stripes, but is a normally colored animal, ha! You're stealing from the boss, right? Really easy to see. Any normal animal, clearly, you stole that, Jacob. So Laban says, okay, cool, I can do that. And immediately reaches back into a bag of tricks and pulls a fast one. All of the currently existing striped, spotted, anomalously colored beasts. Don't try to say that. Just don't try to say it. Those were supposed to be Jacob's starter herd. That was his...
starting beast.
His what?
Starting team lineup.
Starting team lineup, exactly. So, he's got his starter package ready to go, or so he thought. Laban strips all of those critters out of the herd and takes them a 3-day journey away. Excuse me? Oh yeah, he pulled a fast one again. But you know the fun thing about these things? As we read through these narratives, God always fixes it. Oh, does he ever? Just look around the room. Oh, wait, I mean, yeah. He made all of us, right? So we all know he's got a sense of humor.
We got freckles.
What's that?
We got freckles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poster child, right here. I wanted to do everything I could to get rid of those when I was a kid. When I recognized what my freckles were all about, I was living on the Navajo reservation. You know what an oddity I was in school?
Yes, I know. I was one.
Yeah.
You were one too. Yeah. For one, I was a white kid, maybe 50 in the whole K through 12 high school, junior high school, elementary school complex there in Fort Defiance in Arizona. So not only were I different, I was spotty. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of these sheep. So, this was Laban's, right? So were they. Yep. These were Jacob's. So was this. They'd stick out, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
I still have to think through this. Jacob said, I'll take any of the multicolored spotted stripes or whatever.
Yeah.
But to do the sacrifices, did that before the Lord?
That was before the law.
I'm sorry?
That was before the law.
Oh.
The sacrificial system, a year-old male creature.
Unblemished.
Didn't exist yet. We don't have that codified yet.
Okay. We're
about 420 years in front of that here. Okay. Maybe 450. But you're right. It's coming. So how did Jacob and all of the descendants of his herds?
They wouldn't have qualified.
Exactly.
Matter of color and stuff, it wouldn't have qualified.
Right. And that Jacob was not playing the race card there. It was a matter of different color. But God's blessing stayed on Jacob. Yeah, there's going to be some splash over for Laban. But you know, you can't have a waterfall of blessing coming down and they're not sprinkles and splashes that go out when it hits on the rocks of our stone heads, which is kind of what goes on here. Because the agreed upon animals all of a sudden they are popping out left, right, center, up, down, diagonal. Now all of a sudden, even though Laban stripped them all out and took them 3 days away. How'd that work? Sunday school answer, Jesus? God, maybe? Jacob grabs a hold of this superstition. It was an art, a trick of the diviners, the practicers or practitioners of arcane arts. If you pull green branches off of trees and strip away parts of the bark, leaving spots, speckles, stripes, patterns, and you put them in the watering trough, when the animals come to water, they will breed with those traits. I mean, go down to UC Davis Agricultural School and see if that works in their animal husbandry classes, right? I don't think so. But that's what Jacob starts doing. He takes these peeled poplar strips and these willow withes that have patterns, and he enhances those patterns. When the striped critters are watering, look, he throws those in the water. Ha! I'll get you, Laban. I'll figure this out. It's kind of like, 99-year-old ladies bearing children. It works, not because of the sticks, but God's purpose. Remember last week we discussed about how God has a purpose. The purpose is always accomplished, no matter how much we try to get in the way. Jacob's trying to enhance it. God didn't need his help. Remember Abram, Sarai? She can't have kids. She is way beyond childbearing. They had two false starts trying to help. Necessary, under the sovereign promise and purpose of God. The third time was their charm, but in spite of Jacob playing with these sticks, the net effect, Jacob gets richer. He gets wealthy, even by those standards. There is one unfortunate side effect in the mind of Jacob and the retainers that were in on this scheme with him. This is not the hand of God. God's glory gets deflected temporarily by human agency. Now, I realize none of us in here have ever done that. Right. Except me. Right? We have very simple, easy pathways in our minds about, that was cool. It all worked because we planned well. No, it all worked because God made it work. We're supposed to ask all of our needs of God. But there's a condition, according to
His will.
We're supposed to not say, next week I will go to such and such a city, I will trade, and I will be prosperous. What are we supposed to preface that with?
If God's will.
If the Lord wills, and that came from none other than the original Lamb of God. Jesus himself spoke that. Don't go marching off in your own plans and say, I'm going to do this. Where else are we told? The ways of a man are put into his plans, but his steps are ordered by?
The Lord.
The Lord. Yeah, you guys are passing all the Sunday school answers. That's awesome. If God is the one ordering our steps, then where should the glory be reflected?
On God.
On God, yeah. And that's not, that archaic fencing term, on God. It's on God. So, Jacob even gives the nod to,
I worship God, mostly.
He wasn't fully sold out for God. He had the encounter, where he saw the ladder or the stairway, mm-hmm. and the angels ascending and descending, and God at the top, and he says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I'm going to be with you, etc. I am going to make you prosperous beyond your wildest dreams. Oddly enough, Paul, who was never known as a wealthy man, but he picked that up. Because in Ephesians, when he gives one of his many benedictions, may the God who can do all and more of anything you could ever imagine or dream. Same God. So Jacob gives the nod to the piety part, and he says, okay, I'll do the straight up thing by Laban. All the odd ones, I'll take them out, take them however far away he's running his herd, but he'll do it before they mate. He prevents cross-matching with Laban's animals. That still didn't work. The other thing he did, if he had the big burly rams up there drinking, sticks in the water. If it was the little 97-pound weakling rams, you know, the ones that need the Charles Atlas mail-in order course. Well, I can tell a lot of you did not read the back of comic books when you were kids. Yeah, right. Okay, I are old. Maybe some of you have some years on me, but at the end of this week, I'm feeling like I'm 106. When the wimpy animals are up there, takes the sticks out. It's like, okay, Laban, you want all the unmarked, normal-looking things. Guess what? They're not going to breed with the burly ones, or what would be called in from later England on through even to the United States, the bellwether lamb, the bellwether sheep. Only one in the flock would ever really wear a bell. But she was the strongest, and she was the matriarch. If you're in high school, you'd call her the queen bee. And where her bell went, the rest of the flock followed. Keeps it real easy for the shepherd dogs and the shepherd because, yeah, they follow the queen bee. Same thing here. He did not breed the queen bees with the weaker rams. He's manipulating the situation. Regardless of the method involved, here's the crazy part. Judah's flocks are numerous, they are robust, and they are sickeningly healthy. Bit of an oxymoron, but it works for me. Laban's flocks steadily get weaker. The smaller animals, the litter runts, they're the ones that keep going. Bottom line, Jacob is mind-blowingly wealthy. We're talking about a culture that wealth is measured, first of all, how many sons do you have? Second of all, how many critters do you have? Third of all, how many servants do you have to run your household and watch all your critters? We're told at the end of the next chapter, you almost couldn't count not only the flocks, the herds of Jacob, but his manservants, his maidservants, his donkeys, and I guess they were normal colored no matter what, and his oxen. The guy was Elon Musk before electricity was invented. You think it would be obscenely wealthy on the face of this planet right now, Elon Musk, Microsoft people, a handful of pro athletes. This is Jacob. This is Jacob, arguably the wealthiest person in that entire region.
He's the president of the 4-H Club.
Oh, absolutely. Probably invented the 4-H Club. To which one of my granddaughters is eternally thankful because she raises a lamb every year and she's had best of show and a pie out of the last 6 years.
Wow.
I know, right? Who knew? All I know about is about sheep is that they're furry and they stink. She walks around with one over her neck.
They don't have fur.
Okay. Wool. Well, somebody pulled the wool over my eyes on that day, and I didn't get it. Laban also gets enriched. Yeah, he's got his slices of the pie because he's riding around on Jacob's coattails. Nothing. Can't hold a candle to Jacob's wealth. Get in. You moved the cord for me, but I'm stepping on my bag. Is that a hint I should just bag it for the morning? We get in chapter 31 and God revisits Laban. We're not told until the midpoint of the chapter that this is 6 years later. For 6 years, Jacob has been
running his scams.
No, he hasn't. Sticks had nothing to do with it. We know that. We're told that. But, you know, looking at these, I mean, who wants that? You know, who wants to wake up and have that looking at you when you're out in the field? Wake up in the morning and it's, ah! Oh, sorry. It's just you.
No, that was bad.
I was waiting for it. Thunk, thunk, wham! Sorry, I'm guilty of thinking out loud again. God restates his promise. He comes to him and he says, Jacob, I will be with you, and you know who I am. You haven't admitted it entirely yet, but you know who I am. Jacob can read, well, the handwriting on the wall wasn't there yet. That's another nearly 1,000 years away. But he can read the winds of family dysfunction. No idea where he would have learned to learn to, you know, feel that. Tom had a great, when we were talking about the two ladies in the house arguing about, you know, this kid, that kid, your kid, my kid, her kid, you know. Well, these are a different kind of kid, but Tom said, you know, it's almost like an episode of Desperate Housewives. Never seen the show, but I know the title, and I thought, okay, yeah, you nailed that. Jacob knows exactly what's going on with family dysfunction. It happened in his own family, and then it happened between his own wives. And he's looking, he sees Laban, he goes, oh boy, this is not going to be pretty. I know what's going on. So what he does, ladies, come here. We're actually told he calls them out into the field. This can't be overheard by household staff. This can't be overheard when he's out in the herds, so to speak. Rachel, Leah, we got something heavy to discuss. They came out there. He restates for them the past 20 years. This is where we get our chronology. 14 for the two of you, I served your dad. 6 more for these flocks and herds. They may look a little weird, they taste the same. You can still knit their fur in the blankets. Sorry. That was just for you. Yeah, they can still be shorn for the wool and the mohair. They still taste good on a barbecue. But this is 20 years. Your dad does not like this situation. I have manifold times the herds, the sheep, the goats, the everything that he has. Oh yeah, he's got a boatload, but this was near the Euphrates, so it wasn't an ocean liner, it was just a boat. Thank you. You're with me. I have done every single thing your dad asked, straight up. Did I play a little fast and loose with the truth? Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the end was I did what he asked. He is still, to this day, trying to scam me. 10 times he's changed my wages. Oddly enough, the 10 there is not the direct ordinal. It's rather, in a completion of effort, he has changed my wages. But a way to say it is, for them, culturally, 10 times. The guy won't quit messing with me. He is trying to manipulate me, even when he knows I've won, so to speak. But God has not allowed him to harm me, and by extension, my family. He has kept us inside what became known as a hedge of protection. How many of you saw the animated version, Sleeping Beauty? How many read the book? Yeah, there's a book. But when the bad witch knocked her out, the three little fairies, which is the good ones, they came along and what did they do? Crying, and all these thorns grew up around the castle. That's the image here. An impenetrable hedge that has come up. This is a biblical image, but it protects the ones inside. That's what he's hinting at here. Yeah, all this stuff great has gone, and all this time your dad has been trying to scam me out of what is truly mine and what I have earned, worked for. And yet still, God has protected me and all of you. Think of your babies, ladies. So, if we agreed on the spotted, oops, bunch of spotted kids. If we agreed on the striped, bunch of spotted ones, the striped ones. It just kept going. Rachel and Leah out there in the field, they hear this and they go, yep, yep. Can't argue with you. Okay, he's our father. But you're right in everything you have said. Our own father regards us now as foreigners within his house. Ooh. Really? Yeah, that's the term. The Bible used foreigners. Sojourners would be in other versions as well. Those passing through, those not part of the nuclear family. Those who may have interests inimical to our family. Instead of being part of the nuclear family, they may want to just nuke the family. They're not real people. They're just below us because we're so cool. Well, they were feeling like Dad's treating us that way. Not only that, we don't have any portion here anymore. Portion? Yeah, and there's an R in there. This isn't a Harry Potter, Snape thing. It's not a potion, it's a portion. For a young woman in a father's household, tent, city dwelling, whatever, when she was married, there were very formal negotiations, much the way Laban negotiated with Jacob, 7 years labor. But in those negotiations was determined the amount of the dowry that her mother and father would send her into the marriage with. It was part of enriching both sides of the clans that were joining. And there was a bride price. In other words, his family says, we are, in effect, purchasing a daughter. So the dowry would come from her family, the bride price would come from his family, and portions of both would go to the new couple. He would keep a bit of the bride price, the dowry. She would keep a bit of the bride price. 7 years of labor for one girl plus 7 years of labor for another girl, that is a lot of bride price. That's a bunch of flocks. That's a bunch of crops. That's a bunch of weavings and clothing made out of the sheepfur. Rachel and Leah didn't see a cent of that. We have had no portion. This reflects again something about the character of Laban. Sneaky, smarmy, underhanded, manipulator, Machiavellian, and Scottish. Cheap? Oh, sorry. My brother-in-law, who is 50% Scot on his mother's side, that would be my wife's next brother. There's one farther up. But one of his favorite jokes, because he is 50% Scot, why do Scotsmen have such large noses? Well, Daddy, it's obvious. Air is free. But this is Laban. He could have taught Scotsmen stereotypical Scotsmen something about being tight-fisted. It's all for me, it's all mine. Including my girls, except somehow they managed to slip away. Their perspective on this, he has sold us. Or sold us out. Both senses. Everything you've taken from our father, and yes, we've been watching, we've been taking notes. We know you have scored major coups on every front. It's ours now. And we're going, how do you figure? They're married to Jacob. That's the first piece. They're Jacob's wives. Everything in the household, because they are the two principal wives, not the concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah. Even though they contribute to the family rather heavily, like 25%. No, that would be, can't do the math. Six out of 12, eventually. 50%. Oi. So it's all ours. Rachel and Leah agreed. God told you to go home? Cool. Let's do it. Go! Go, for crying out loud. We're tired of it here, too. Laban regarded us as foreigners. We don't have a portion. He sold us out. Everything's ours. We are told in the very next verse, he loads up a serious camel train. This was like the super tanker of camel trains. He's got a lot of stuff, and he's going to go roughly 600 miles south. Yeah. You load up your camel and you go. Takes all the family, all the herds and flocks. They didn't ride camels. When you have four legs, they assume you can make it on your own. All the servants and retainers were also told boatloads of donkeys, etc. Rachel goes one step further. I'm a little ticked, Daddy. What can I do? I have an idea. The terrafine on the shelf. Now that's not an elf on a shelf. The family gods. Exactly. Terrafine was the local word. And the H-I-M at the end of it, that suffix always tells you it's more than one. Which is why it just blows everybody's mind that God is first on, referred to as Elohim. More than one? Oh. One what? Three who?
Persons.
Right?
Let us.
Let us make man in our image. One what? Three who? Indivisible. Not with liberty and justice for all, but... Because of what I was doing yesterday, I got four national anthems. Just saying. It was hard enough to stand in tension, let alone pay attention. Not really. She steals the family gods off the shelf from wherever they happen to be. I've got to walk carefully here. These, technically, were nothing more than figurines, icons. If you go to the Hopi Reservation, which is entirely encompassed inside of the Navajo Nation in northeastern Arizona, you can buy what are called, excuse me, Kachina dolls. Is that a familiar concept? They are small, carved, painted, decorated representations of the various personages in the pantheon of the Hopi Nation. You can do exactly the same thing anywhere along the southern coast of West Africa. Tribal animism is normally how it is referred, but you can buy figurines, cast metal, painted wood, sometimes carved out of stone, of the personages of their local deities. And these would be put in a prominent place in the house. If, say, a person in Togo or Benin wanted to begin having children, they would put a small figure of a deity called Loki near the fireplace. Loki, not the Norse Loki, but oddly enough, he shares a quality. Both are deities of insanity. Where the African Loki varies, he is also the deity of lust and reproduction, which the first of those could be referred to as a version of insanity. Because people can do some pretty insane things in their pursuits of those kinds of things. This is exactly what is referenced here in the Bible. So, the Hopi didn't invent this. The early tribal groups, anywhere you go, just about, in Africa, did not invent this. The Norse did not invent this. This has been around since the fall. And it is believed that by putting this little statuette or figurine in a prominent place within your home, you are granted the protections of the purveyor god of those things. If you were an ancient Norseman and you wanted powerful protection for your property, you would put a figurine of Thor up there. Right? Yeah. Pardon me. Same token, if you're in Rome, you would put a little statue of Mars there. God of war.
Greek is Ares.
Greek is Ares. But they're both bullheaded. They're stubborn. A ram is a stubborn beast. And it beats things into submission. But this point here, she grabs the family protective islands. Her reasoning was very possibly, we're running from Dad. If I take these with me, he is unprotected. He is powerless outside of their reach. It's also a direct slap in the face to local deities anywhere because they were limited to the region of where they got worshipped. Where is God limited?
Not at all.
Not at all. Nowhere. The psalmist said, if I go to Sheol, the halls of the dead, you are there. If I go to the heavens, you are there. Anywhere in between, you are there. Doesn't leave out much, does it? But she's got the gods, and she pulls a fast one of her own coming out. Jacob flees and crosses, some Bibles will say, the river. It's not capped or underlined. Others will just flat out say, Euphrates. That's what they're doing. They're heading back southwest. They're coming out of that Fertile Crescent area in what would be modern-day western Iraq, northeastern Jordan. They're heading back down to Palestine. 3 days later, Laban, who was off mowing the fur off the sheep, shearing. Oh, he was sheep shearing. That's what he was doing. He finds out. One of the servants comes back to him. Oh, by the way, they all left. The place was almost deserted. Little cartoon like dust wind swirl and, you know, maybe a couple of leaves and they're gone. 7 days out, he catches up. We're talking camels and foot. It's not like there's a super highway. Takes him a week to catch up. And he caught up that fast, why? Because Jacob is moving estimate of 2 million living things between his extended family, his retainers and servants, and then all the herds. They don't move fast. They do not move fast. A man on foot, moving at a normal clip, he's going to be halfway to Jerusalem in 7 days. Maybe more. They ended up, this I just love, somewhere about 1200, depending on who you read. 1200 AD, probably closer to 1440 AD. The Israelites conquered Palestine. One of the sons of Joseph.
You mean BC?
Did I say AD? Mm-hmm. Told you my week was weird. BC, before children. All parents recognize that. There was great peace in the land, B.C. Anyway, see this here? They got to the hill country of Ephraim. He doesn't exist. That area of tribal Israel doesn't exist. Why on earth is this term ripped backwards 400, maybe even 500 years and thrown into a text? Who wrote it? Well, God inspired it to be written. Moses probably tracked all of this down. Moses already knew the story ahead, but there is a very strong belief that Samuel actually entered that term because nobody in the readership of the days of Samuel had any clue where that was. They used the name for the region common to who was actually the intended audience. It happens. It happens. You talk to a really, really old line Russian, and he will remember St. Petersburg, and he will remember, what was the other one?
Stalingrad.
But even before that, a lot of cities that they remember in their minds and the names thereof changed after November of 17, when the Bolshevik uprising won. That word wasn't going to go. So anyway, similar stuff happens all the time like that. The night before they get to Jacob, they can taste them. They can see the evidence on the caravan track. Oh yeah, boatloads of sheep, goats, and critters have been along here. We got, and this has to be him. God sends Laban a little dream. He sent Jacob a dream. Twice. Once with a ladder. Once with a go home. Your work here is through. Laban, tread carefully with my servant Jacob. If that didn't put the fear of God into Laban, literally, nothing else was going to. So, now I'm dreaming about this? And now the God that Jacob is somewhat affiliated with is warning me, don't mess with him? Had to be rethinking his plan. Because he went down with all his armed retainers. Why would you do that? I'm going to catch me some vermin and bring them back. Right? He's going down with enough force to totally subsume Jacob and bring back his daughters and grandkids. Laban. Yo, Leonard.
No, I was just looking for something that would bother me when you said...
Oh, I'll probably say a lot of things that'll bother a lot of people. Which one was it this time?
11 sons. It was 12.
Not yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember when Benjamin is born?
Okay. Yeah. So
yes.
Benjamin, that was...
Benjamin is missing at the moment.
Okay.
He'll get there.
Okay.
Especially because he has such a critical part to play.
I kept looking and I couldn't find
him. You couldn't find him. You don't find him until, I think it's 38.
Oh.
Yeah. When that last one, that child of my old age kind of deal. Did I see another hand? Well, okay, we all have two, but did I see one? Okay. Laban, first accusation out of his mouth. You were discourteous. You did not follow protocol. Remember that was the leverage he used against Jacob for slipping in Leah instead of Rachel? We don't do that around here. That was not protocol. They probably sipped their tea with an extended pinky, too.
You left without telling a soul.
Jacob in the back of the head, duh. There was a reason for that, because we didn't want this reaction. I was denied my proper farewells. These are my kin. Not inheritance. Instead, and here comes this funny little word, the root with various suffixes and
prefixes.
Yes, those, thank you. Follows all the way through this passage. You stole away in the night. You know I could wipe you out. This might be where Jacob starts to sweat a little bit. But your God told me not to. Okay, well, we cleared that major hurdle. What's coming? Okay, I get it, you wanted to go home. I can see that. I'm a family man myself. Why did you have to steal, here's that word again, my gods? Now, in text speak, that would be OMG. Why MG?
Excuse me.
Yes, Debbie.
Why is it his God? I mean, isn't it all of...
That is a fabulous question, because it highlights, and look what it highlights. A single God.
Yes.
throughout the history of the universe, has identified himself as creator and sovereign, rights to rule utterly over everything created. After all, he made it. He wrote the instruction manual. But the people, especially during the time between the birth of Seth, third son of Adam and Eve, and Noah, when the world got so wicked, what was the phrase used in Genesis 6:6? Every inclination of their hearts was toward evil all the time. And what were they doing? They were worshiping everything and anything except the one true God. So Laban doesn't get that. He doesn't get the exclusivity of God, God himself. Instead, he had little household statues. Instead, he had little figurines. And his neighbors did too. Probably not the same set, because they wanted protections and blessings in different places. Even the people around Jacob's homeland, same thing. They would carve something out of wood and say, this is our god or goddess, and this is what he or she does for us. So in their surrounding culture, there was a ton of gods. This one could step into history. This one could look at Laban, good snoring, poke him in the forehead and say, guess what, son? Don't mess with Jacob. Don't mess with Jacob.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's only one God that could do that kind of stuff, right? Laban doesn't get that. Okay. Jacob is just beginning to fully understand it. Okay. He had the encounter with God on his way north, remember? Jacob's ladder. He fell asleep, he's got some rocks piled around for security, and then he's given this incredible vision, angels going up and down this ladder, this stairway to heaven. God himself, whatever, probably I've always thought of that as just this immense light, rather than a figure that could be later carved and worshipped. God himself says, Jacob, you're on the right course, but understand something. I'm God. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you, no matter how far away you get. And I'm going to make you prosper, but then I'm going to bring you back here. All of this is percolating through Jacob's head when he has another dream. Son, your time up here, up north, is through. Get back down to the south where you all belong. I'm sorry. But then Laban, when he chases him, he goes, all right, I can figure out why you wanted to get back home. But why'd you take the gods? Jacob, huh? What? Are you kidding me? You're not upset about the sheep, the goats? You're upset about your idols? Yes, I am. Jacob answers, first of all, I was afraid of your might. I was afraid of your power. Essentially, I was afraid of your temper. You're a me-first kind of guy. I just shoved an oar in the spokes of your vehicle. And I kind of messed up your plan. But what's this about gods? Where did you pulled this out of left field. Baseball wasn't even invented. What are you talking about? Okay, I tell you what. I'll make you a deal, Laban. So, my caravan is open before you. Go find whatever you think is yours. What's that, Margarita?
I said, that's free for your life.
Yeah. Exactly. That. If you find your gods, that thief is going to die, because that culturally was a terminal offense. That was capital punishment. You mess with a god from somebody else, oh yeah, you die. God's economy, and especially when we start reading through, when we get into Judges, Joshua and Judges, more than once, the people of God say, well, if you've got a problem with God, let your God take it up with him. This is going to look down. Right?
Hey. What I find confusing here is that Jacob seems to admit having taken the gods, and then says, go ahead and search my camp.
He expressed bafflement at the statement of the gods.
No, he says, why did you steal my gods? And Jacob says, because I was afraid that you might...
Okay. I see the connection that, yeah. And that's, I believe, this came up once when I was in seminary. We beat this around because there did seem to be some kind of a causal connection. But apparently, linguistically, it's not possible. He answered the question behind this. You broke protocol, you left without warning, why? He answered that as Laban enumerated, well, not only did you do all that, you took my household gods, what's up with that? Jacob answered the first question first and the second question second. And he said, Leonard?
Okay. I was afraid of your mind. If you put a period there, okay, that what does that say? Well, here's Jacob saying, I was afraid of your mind. Okay. Gods? We're on a totally different
side. We're on a different plane. Physically, you scared me.
You got
more men and more. You got better trained guys, because I watched them. I've been around your house for 20 years. I know what you've got. I don't have any of that. So physically, I was afraid of you. And then comes this follow-up, gods? What are you talking about? Tell you what, search the caravan. You find anything yours, take it back. B, you find those idols, the one who stole them will die. I will at least acknowledge that custom with you. So, well, here we go. He goes through everything. We're not told that he had 3 months to do it, but apparently he did. He and his retainers went through everything. You see anything that's ours? And most of all, do you see the household items? Rachel pulls a serious deception. She hides the idols in her saddle, which is not currently on the camel, but you understand these things are huge constructions because you've got to fit it over a camel's hump. Camel's hump is about that. So, underneath it, in the bracing, there were compartments. You kept your snacks there, you kept your water bottle there, you kept your travel food there. You just reached down and you put... She hides the idols in there. Good thinking. Wait a minute, what's the stopping from opening that up? Ooh, she's smarter than that.